Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with Andrew P. Shea, back in with us for quarter number four. And Andy, in quarter number four, my question for you is going to be to look at our position battles in camp. But before we get there, we need to announce our winner, and that is Lee from Mount Lebanon. Lee will be getting in touch with you about your KSN polo. All right, Andrew P., camp's in full swing. We've got to talk about position battles. That's always the case in the fall. This is a team where I would say the vast majority of the positions are pretty much locked up. We know who the guys are going to be out on the field when they start a game. But there's still a handful of positions. Where are you looking? Where are your eyeballs? What position are you looking for the position battles?
It's defensive end. If you want me to start somewhere, I mean, you lose two guys that were NFL draft picks. That's right. In Owe and Tony, that's always going to be sort of a mountain you have to climb a little bit, right? You lose two veterans who have a wealth of experience and talent. They go to the NFL, both of them, and you automatically have a hole to fill, right? That was always going to be the case. Now you have some guys that are potential, and you lose one of them to injury. I'm talking about Adisa Isaac, which in James Franklin's speak, as we know, if he even brings up an injury or acknowledges it, you know it's long-term, 99% chance it's a season-long injury, because he doesn't talk about short-term stuff, right? So, you know, with what he said about Adisa Isaac, that basically he's no longer an option. That's a tough luck blow for Penn State. I'm not saying that he was, you know, the Hakuna Matata and the next, you know, Messiah at defensive end for Penn State, but he was a viable, talented option that they've now lost. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a position battle. It's more of like, can they find some dudes? And what the heck is it going to look like? I mean, you have to hope for Penn State, I think, now. And this is a hope. I hate to use that word. But, I mean, you have to hope Arnold Ebikidi, the transfer from Temple, with plenty of reps and experience from his time with the Owls. That, I mean, you almost have to hope, okay, this dude, I hope he can hold up on a Big Ten field, right? Like, that's really important for Penn State's defense. It's not like a be-all, end-all, but it's sort of kind of pretty important, I think, that, you know, he's able to at least be, you know, a viable defensive end. I think if you're looking there, I go further, I'll say I think Nick Tarburton could be a run defense end, right? I think they're going to do some mixing and matching over there, and I swear to gosh, I think I'm just guessing here, I think you see Nick Tarburton in early downs, and I swear to gosh, I think you see Jesse Luketa in pass rushing situations over there. I really honestly do. I think the hybrid role that they talked about and that James talked about last week at Media Day, and the sort of like, well, we're playing him at linebacker and D end. Well, I think the loss of Adisa Isaac means Jesse Luketa, you could be a rush D end, and I think Nick Tarburton can hold up on an early downs in a run game. That's what I'm looking at now, but boy, they need some development there. Smith Vilbert, Zariah Fisher, you know, are those guys that are, they're developmental guys? Are they going to be on the field? Are they ready to be on the field? I just think, you know, there's some stuff we got to learn and some questions that the players themselves have to answer for the coaching staff and for the fans about Penn State at the defensive end position. And it's been a long, 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 long time since I can remember us talking about the defensive end position that way. So that doesn't mean that they have been, that it's been a consistent struggle. This is just, it's sort of fallen on them now.
It is interesting. And, you know, when we were talking about this segment, Andy, ahead of time, and just like on the air, you just said, Well, here's my first three concerns: defensive end, and defensive end. And it's interesting, if you look at the depth chart at defensive end, there's one senior, Ibukidi, who's a transfer, never played a down for Penn State. Adisa Isaac, who's, you know, would be
gone.
A junior set, gone. Nick Tarburton, how much have
converted
we seen
linebacker.
Him? Yeah. And then everyone else is a, you know, a sophomore or a freshman with very little to no experience. Darkwa,
yeah,
and Fisher and Mostella and Smith Vilbert. Somebody's going to have to step up.
Hello, Jesse Luceda. Hello, Jesse Luceda. Defensive end, rush defensive end, a little bit of a NASCAR package guy. Bring him off the edge, stand him up. Maybe he puts his hand in the ground occasionally. I actually can see him having some success in that role, to be honest with you. And I think the foreshadowing from James last weekend was also a little like, this is what we got to do type foreshadowing.
I believe that's the case, and I believe they've known about Adisa Isaac for a while, so they've been able to plan for this. It is fascinating.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to bring up the running backs, Andrew, and it's funny, we talked a bit about this in quarter number one. And the stark contrast, where at defensive end, I'm not going to say there's mediocrity there. I'm going to say there's inexperience there, and it's all unknowns. And we got to find not just two players, but probably four, you know, for that rotation. Meanwhile, at running back, I think that's still a competition here, because the difference is we've got five guys, all with some very real experience and some very real talent. And James, in his meeting with the media, said he's going to look for a three-man rotation. Guess what that means, Andrew? I'm not a math major, but you got five guys who are competent and a three-man rotation. I think that leaves two guys out of the picture.
That leaves, I don't think it's an RB1 situation. I think that's, James was changing sort of the snapshot of it, of who's going to emerge as the number one running back. I think what he did, and we talked about it in quarter one, but what I think he meant was, we're going to literally be using three running backs. And we're going to use three running backs in a fairly equal way. It's a challenge for new offensive coordinator and Jawan Sider, the running back coach, that I think they're up for. But I think James is challenging him, like, look, I don't want you to find one guy. I want you to find three guys. And they're all going to be our RB1s. We're going to use them all differently, but we're going to view them all as number one running back options. I really think that's the sort of the benchmark that he was setting, that, you know, don't expect there to be a 1-2-3. It's going to be RB1, 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 then the other two dudes. So he said it bluntly, four is too much, I think. And in other words, he was saying the offensive coordinator and running back coach both know that four is too many. It's three.
Okay, Andy. We got several more to hit. Let's hit them real quick, just the highlights.
Sure.
At safety, we already talked about it. Keaton Ellis, Jair Brown, Jonathan Sutherland, Tyler Rudolph. Who you got as the second starter?
I know that they like that the light's gone on for Tyler Rudolph. I think Jonathan Sutherland's had his chance to prove himself over time, and he fits into a role on this team I think is a little different. I'm curious about Jair Brown and Keaton Ellis. I think it's those two guys. I think one of them could possibly be the fifth running back or fifth defensive back, in their 4-2-5 set. My gut tells me it's Jair Brown to start. That's just my gut instinct. A little bit of you know, time in the seat last year that wasn't necessarily bad. As long as he hasn't fallen off, it just tells me, my gut tells me it's Jair Brown.
And I wouldn't be surprised, and I've often said this, I think there's that fifth defensive back, and I almost consider him a starter. Would you be surprised if Jair Brown gets one of those positions and Keaton Ellis, say, becomes the third safety?
Nope, we're shopping in the same aisle at the Walmart right there, Jim. That would not surprise me one little bit. And I don't think it would surprise you either. It kind of fits and makes sense, but don't sell Keaton short. And I, you know, if James says it's a competition, then James is like, this is close and tight, and I'm not sure yet. So that's what James is saying. So it's interesting. Safety's a, the second safety is the most fascinating camp battle going on. Defensive end's the most vital. Second safety is the most interesting.
Let's hit offensive line, Andy. I think we're pretty locked in with four of the starters. Rasheed Walker, Caden Wallace as the tackles. Probably Mike Miranda at center. We think we saw enough of Juice Scruggs last year to think he gets one of the guard positions. Who gets the other guard position?
You better have seen enough. Thought, if you're a Penn State fan, you better have seen enough of Juice Scruggs and go, yep, that kid can play guard. I'm happy with that guy. Des Holmes for me. Proven, trustworthy, valuable, has moved around and sort of done the job as well as could be expected wherever you put him. And I don't think they have any problem moving him inside. It's Des Holmes for me every day and twice on Sunday.
I wonder, they brought in Eric Wilson, the transfer from Harvard. He's only got, I believe, 1 year of eligibility left. With that situation, I'm not saying that they promised him playing opportunity, but for him to come in and for them to welcome him in, you got to think he at least has an opportunity at that position. And I also wonder if Des Holmes, with his versatility, playing both inside and outside, he almost becomes the better sixth man. So if any of the starters goes down, Des Holmes is prepared to come in and help out.
Yeah, I think Des Holmes is the fifth guy. I think Wilson has to prove that he's better at Holmes to put Holmes on the bench. And I think the coaching staff, and they should, they trust Des Holmes. They know what Des Holmes does. So I do like the fact that, okay, well, you lose a tackle, you can shuffle him in outside, and then you have to bring another guard in. Maybe that's the opportunity for him, but I don't see it the other way around. I really don't. I see Des Holmes. I see him starting at left guard.
Real quickly, I think they need to designate that third wide receiver. We know Jahan Dotson, Parker Washington. Who do you like as that third wide receiver?
Keandre Lambert-Smith, end of story. Everybody else is fighting for fourth.
All right, very good, Andrew.
That's simple.
We'll take that as gospel. You heard it here from Andrew P. Shea. That is it for our show. Thank you all so much for listening, and make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.